Mary? I don't think so. Martha does. She's Lady Hospitality. How cool is that? She embodies Abraham's own hospitality in the Old Testament. In Luke 10, the evangelist tells us that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. The Greek verb for welcome, I know we have some Greek students here. Upodekomai. It's quite unique to Luke. It means receiving a guest hospitably, in a friendly way. It is a verb Luke also uses later in the gospel to describe Zacchaeus, remember him? Who hurried and came down and received welcome, ipedetzato. Welcome Jesus joyfully. A similar verb, apodekomai, is used by Luke in chapter 8, a little bit earlier than our text today, to describe how the crowds welcomed Jesus in their midst. And among those in the crowd, a woman whom Jesus healed from a discharge of blood, and Jairus, whose daughter Jesus raised from the dead. Even more important, in the next chapter, chapter 9, right before the one for today, Luke uses the same verb to describe Jesus' own welcoming of the crowds to make them participants of the blessings of God's kingdom. Before Jesus feeds the 5,000, Luke tells us that the crowds followed him and he welcomed them, apodekomai, and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. And then we come to our text, chapter 10, where Martha exhibits not only the welcoming attitude and behavior of Zacchaeus and of the crowds, but Jesus' own friendly hospitality. You see, Martha is just like Jesus. What's not to like? She is Christ-like. She embodies her Lord's hospitality. If anyone is a true disciple of Jesus, Martha got it right. And if that is not enough, Martha is also portrayed as a servant of Jesus. She is involved in much serving, we're told, in diakonia, a way of speaking in the Gospels that indicates a true form of devotion or faithfulness to the Lord. Think, for instance, how in Matthew and Mark, Jesus uses the word diakonos, from where diakonia comes from, service, to teach his disciples what it means to follow, what discipleship looks like. Whoever must be great among you must be your servant, diakonos. In their diakonia, or service to others, disciples reflect their own Lord's service to them. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So again, Martha looks pretty good in my book. She's a servant. She's just like Jesus. What's not to like about Christ-like? She embodies her own Lord's hospitality and service. So again, if anyone is a true disciple, Martha is the one. And she is hospitable, she is a servant, and we can learn much from Martha about what it means to be a disciple indeed. But let's not get too excited here right away. Yes, we can learn from Martha, but of course we can learn even more from Jesus, right? And Jesus, in his conversation with her, teaches us to see discipleship in a more deep way, from Jesus' perspective, from the right perspective, from the God perspective. You see, the first problem here, and perhaps shocking truth, is that Christ is revealing to us that one can actually be Christ-like without being Christ-focused. I know. was Christ-like, but only her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She was Mary, Christ's focus. This is the old problem of turning devotion into an idol, as it were, of making our works of hospitality and service, which are gifts from God, into gods themselves. This is the old temptation of turning devotion itself into Jesus, rather than making Jesus the aim of our devotion. The solution? Martha, don't let your service distract you from spending time with me, from sitting at my feet and learning from me. Then you can go to town and be a welcoming servant, just like me. But first, dwell in me and my word. Don't let the cares of many things take away from the one needful thing, from the Lord's care for you. Don't put the cart before the horse, as they say. Or better yet, don't put the work before the word, before the Lord. Sit at the feet of Jesus and then walk with Jesus. Learn from me and then follow me. Now, the second problem here, and perhaps just as shocking a truth that Christ reveals in his encounter with Martha, is that a true disciple must not be confused with someone who is busy all the time or ceaselessly hard at work. I know it is so easy to think of, and indeed reduce, discipleship or Christ-likeness to a type of activity. But what if we think of discipleship as a form of retreat from the busyness of life to receive? What if we think of Christ-likeness not only as activity, and so as something we give to others, but also as something we receive from God? Here, Christ is our example, too. For our Lord can do both of these things. He is devoted to the crowds, welcoming them into his Father's kingdom through his preaching and healing. He is rather busy, isn't he? Active, at work, in his Father's business, in the mission he commended to him. And he does many things for our sake. And yet, Jesus can also withdraw to deserted places, to sit at his Father's feet. Even when the crowds come asking him for help, Jesus does not hesitate at times going to the mountain to spend time with his Father in prayer. Sometimes we react against that and say, he should be busy, he should be doing the mission, and we talk that way. But Jesus also goes to the mountain. And indeed, in his own prayer, Jesus puts his very life in the hands of God, letting his Father do his will in him, not my will, but yours be done. If Martha embodies the activity of Christ's devotion to God for another's sake, Mary embodies the receptive dimension of Christ's devotion, which receives God's gifts. The point is not to throw away the active for the passive, the giving for the receiving, but rather not to let the active extinguish the passive, not to let the crowds keep us from the mountain. The solution to this, Martha, don't be anxious and troubled about many things. The solution is not to avoid or evade the many things we have been given to do, but rather not to let them consume us so much that they get in the way of devotion to Jesus. Sounds like good advice for business seminarians, doesn't it? Faculty and staff alike. Good advice for all disciples of Jesus. Here I am reminded of St. Basil of Caesarea's reflections on his short time in a monastic community. Although Basil, who is a 4th century church father, admits he wasn't very good at this monastic business. He is, however, appreciative of one thing he learned in solitude, and that is the need to, once in a while, retreat from the world. Now, by retreat, Basil does not mean a denial of one's responsibilities and vocations in the world. Instead, retreat means putting aside the distractions and anxieties of the world. For what purpose? In order to receive spiritual nourishment from Jesus. The purpose of such retreat is not ultimately to escape the world, but to be nourished in order to engage the world rightly. Basil knows that retreating from the world's cares and anxieties is actually a very difficult thing to do. And he didn't even have to deal with TV, emails, Netflix, and social media. In fact, such retreat, even in his own day, he says, is so difficult. So difficult that Basil calls it a form of death. It is a form of death to self in order to make room for God and His Word, to make room for Jesus. Which means that Mary's receptivity to her Lord is a form of Christ-likeness. It's a way of dying with Christ to make room for faith and prayer and the Word, a form of discipleship that is nevertheless so hard to notice and embrace at times in a world so full of tasks to accomplish, but also so full of distractions. I'll be honest with you, I still like Martha a lot. I like to focus on the many things Jesus has given me to do. But I must admit, I often let those things become the main thing. How about you? Today, Jesus calls us not to do away with the many things, but rather not to let them, as needed as they might be, distract us from the one thing that is necessary, from faith and devotion to Jesus Himself. And so today, Jesus turns the tables on us. He is the host who welcomes us, His beloved Martha, into this His house, to His altar, to serve us at His table. So come and receive His body and blood. Come for a little retreat from your busy life, from the anxieties of this world, whatever those are for you, and be nourished, be fed, so that you might have the strength to re-engage the world rightly. Come and eat and drink gladly at the feet of Jesus. Come, Martha, join your sister here at the altar. Receive your good portion.